From the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming live on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. And you could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter X at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. A busy weekend in baseball, a busy weekend in the NFL, and also a busy weekend in college football as well. We'll get into all the college later. Jeremiah Love, running back for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, who are ranked 8th in the country at 7-1, is going to stop by at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific time today. Coach Prime is going bowling as well. Mike Elko with another big victory. We'll get into all that. Obviously, a whole lot to get into in the NFL with the great victory. Hail Mary, Washington Commanders. The Eagles are starting to look like the Eagles. And the Cowboys, well, are the Cowboys, and it's never about just evaluating the Cowboys on the field. Now there's something to evaluate with the Cowboys off the field. And, oh yeah, by the way, we will get into a little World Series later as the Dodgers have taken a commanding 2-0 series lead. The series now shifts back to the big ballpark in the Bronx, where there will be 3 games, maybe, for the Yankees. We'll see if the Yankees can get on the board tonight and get into the win column. I'm actually going to the game tonight, so we'll try to enjoy the Fall Classic, and we'll see what happens. You know, the Dodgers, they take the first 2, Freeman with the big grand salami in game 1, then they win game 2, and Stu is in like a good but then a miserable mood because Stu ended up, I didn't know Big Buck Stu, by the way, going to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish game at MetLife Stadium up against Navy, a little un-American with some of your tweets, you know, trashing Navy and supporting the Fighting Irish. But hey, Stu, you had to enjoy your weekend of college football and just ignore the baseball with your Yankees being 2 games away from getting eliminated and the Dodgers hoisting that crappy piece of metal that Rob Manfred refers to, which is the Commissioner's Trophy.
Yeah, ignore the NFL and ignore the World Series.
Your NFL team showed somewhat of a fight.
They did.
They didn't get embarrassed. They didn't get run off the field. And Travis Kelce scored a touchdown. You know, I'm an idiot, by the way.
Okay.
Because I love anytime touchdown bets. When it is National Tight Ends Day, I need to next year just concoct like 5 parlays all with tight ends. There's tight ends yesterday that are scoring that you couldn't even pick out if they were standing right in front of you. He had no clue who they were. And like every tight end got into the end zone yesterday. So I need to revisit my betting strategy next year when it comes to National Tight Ends Day. All right, let's get to the biggest joke, the biggest circus, the biggest clown show in the NFL. You know, when I look back to the last 15, 20 years, and I think about a team that has been hyped up, everyone's buying in. They're sending SportsCenter out to training camp, right? There's a lot of national buzz. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the media is doing one segment a day talking about that team and the palpable buzz that's building and brewing and buzzing and going nuts with that team in the offseason. I go back to the Eagles, the dream team Eagles of 2011, which got off to a horrendous start to the season. And then they finished the year at 8-8. But that season, even though you finished the year at 8-8, from where the expectations were, it was an unmitigated disaster. So in the last 15 to 20 years, if you say, Zach, who was one of the more disappointing NFL teams that you've ever seen, considering big moves in the offseason, considering a giant hype train that was run all around the place throughout the summer, who was the answer? Who was the team? And it was clearly the Dream Team Eagles. Dream Team Eagles, you guys are not going to be referred to as that team anymore. Because the answer now are the 2024 New York Jets, which any bad word that you could think of pretty much describes the Jets. They are lazy. They are sloppy. They are lethargic. They are putrid. And they are one big fat clown show. And you know what? I'm sick and tired of everybody making excuses for Aaron Rodgers. For years, we all heard about how great Aaron Rodgers is, and I get it. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's a top 10 quarterback of all time. He's won a Super Bowl. But there's always been one thing circling Aaron Rodgers, and it's the ghost, it's the boogeyman, it's the idea of him winning a second Super Bowl. And what Aaron Rodgers does is when things don't go his way, he blames everybody else. And there are sycophants of Aaron Rodgers that sit there and they blame the Packers defense when he was in Green Bay. They blame the Packers special teams. They blame the Packers coach. They blame the Packers offensive line. They blame the general manager. They blame not getting him another wide receiver to complement Davante Adams. Sometimes that failure and that blame is justified. But when it's 10 out of 10 all the time exonerating the blame of Aaron Rodgers, I just won't stand for it. And just look at this year in New York. Look at this year in New York. He wanted Robert Saleh back in the offseason. And then Robert Saleh became critical of his quarterback, and Aaron Rodgers, even though he won't admit this, but we all know it's the truth, they'll blame it on Woody Johnson, said, hey, Robert, I'm going to get you fired. And he got the coach fired. And Stu even knows this. When you have an interim coach come in, it may not be a long emotional shift, but there is at least a one-week shift where the team responds and the team goes to war and the team goes to battle and the team fights for the interim coach because they got embarrassed and they got a coach fired. The Jets haven't won a damn game since getting rid of Robert Saleh. And everyone's pointing fingers, you know, who's to blame? Who's to blame? They just got Davante Adams. Oh, the offensive line is struggling. Breece Hall's not looking like the Breece Hall of old. Garrett Wilson, he's not adapting with Aaron Rodgers. The defense is good, but it's not great. All the excuses get used. This starts and ends with the relationship between two people who have been an unmitigated disaster with the Jets during this short era, or should I say error, because that's what it's been. And it is the quarterback of the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, and it is their lousy owner in Woody Johnson. Because the owner created a culture in which Aaron Rodgers could do whatever he wants with no checks and balances. And Aaron Rodgers has taken that baton, and even for the Jets standard, which was not a high standard to begin with, he has run the Jets into the ground. The Jets were better last year with Zach Wilson as their quarterback than they've been this year with Aaron Rodgers sitting there losing five straight games and being 2-6. And your two wins have come up against the Patriots and the Titans. And let me tell you something. I say this as a Patriot fan. We can't block. We can't catch. We have to go to our backup quarterback because Drake May got knocked out of the game with the concussion. And even with all the things the Patriots can't do, it's still good enough to beat the GD Jets, the lousy, stinking Jets. So all you Jet fans who threw that parade in week three on Thursday Night Football, ooh, we embarrassed the Patriots. Well, the Patriots just ended your season, officially ended your season. Not that there was much optimism to begin with, but some just delirious Jet fans still thought this team could turn it around. And I'm sick and tired, by the way, of everyone making excuses for Aaron Rodgers. And you know what? I should have been happy yesterday. And don't get me wrong. I was happy. But I do this show, and usually what sets me off, and sometimes it's the teams that I root for, sometimes it's the teams that I don't like, but I have one principle, one thing. It doesn't matter if I love your team or if I hate your team. When someone makes a bad situation worse and doesn't take accountability and tries to make a witty comment when the team is not performing well, that's what sets me off. I'm a man of accountability, and Aaron Rodgers has zero accountability. And even when he pretends to have accountability, it's one big joke. It's a facade. He makes it sound like he's taking ownership and he's having accountability. But his words before that totally negates anything else that he says after the joke that he pulls off yesterday. So Jeff Olbrich innocuously says after the game, "This is a moment of darkness. And we understand that the outside world is going to get really loud right now. So this Aaron Rodgers, this dope, this guy who has no interest of actually winning in New York, and he's been an unmitigated disaster in New York, he takes to the podium and he gets asked about what the coach said. And this is one of the most disgraceful, pathetic, and just stupid responses that you're going to hear from a veteran, a top 10 quarterback of all time, a quarterback that is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the great quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. And this answer just shows you why I never want to hear anyone mention Aaron Rodgers in the same breath as Tom Brady, as John Elway, as Joe Montana, as Patrick Mahomes. You know, you could go on and on and on with the all-time great quarterbacks. And I get it. I just said Rodgers, a top 10 quarterback. But there's a difference between a top 10 quarterback and a top 5 quarterback. Like, Aaron Rodgers gets into the really cool club. He gets into the exclusive club. But even in the exclusive club, there's an exclusive club in the exclusive club. And Rodgers could know some people in the exclusive club, but he's not in that club. He's in the club just outside of the exclusive club. And it's because of moments like this.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness. You got to go in there, make peace with it. Offensively, our goal has just got to be score 30. Doesn't matter what the other two sides are doing. You know, we have trust in our defense and teams. But if we're not scoring 30, we're underachieving. This offense can do that every single week.
He makes a witty joke about the stupid darkness retreat that he goes on that we all make fun of. That's what he does when Jeff Olbrich says, "We're in a moment of darkness right now." And he's like, "Oh, I'm an expert on darkness. You know, I fought against the darkness before." Are you kidding me? And that answer shows me why Aaron Rodgers has never won a second Super Bowl in this league. Because he doesn't care about winning. He doesn't. He doesn't basically live and die on the football field, live, sleep, breathe, drink football like Tom Brady has, or Peyton Manning has, or John Elway has, or Patrick Mahomes has. And that's the difference. And I know sometimes people poke fun in the draft process when we talk about doing whatever it takes to win, and also just basically selling your soul for the NFL. And I'm not saying that you can't enjoy life, but the great quarterbacks make you think that 24/7, all they think about is football, 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 football. And what does Aaron Rodgers think about? Darkness retreats, maybe running for vice president, ayahuasca, and now he is so intelligent that he has a greater ability to think than anyone else in the history of this country. Like, enough with this guy. Your team is 2-6. You can't beat a Patriot team who can't block, who can't catch, and they're playing Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. And you can't outscore him? And your coach says this is a moment of darkness for the franchise, and you make some witty remark? A witty remark about your experience in the cave with the darkness retreat? Loser behavior. Loser, 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 loser behavior by Aaron Rodgers. That was a disgraceful answer. And you know what? He made his bed, and now he has to lie in it. Because this, for a lot of Jets fans and for a lot of players in that locker room, it is going to be a slow, ugly, miserable, and I mean miserable, final 2 months of the season. But let's be real. This quarterback doesn't give a flying you-know-what. He doesn't. He does not do whatever it takes to win. And I get it, he's 40. I get it, he's playing on one leg. But he's not a good leader. There's reasons why he's never won a second Super Bowl. He's an excuse maker. He doesn't take accountability. And in a moment where this team just had an embarrassing moment even for the Jets standard, this is one of the more all-time embarrassing losses where you're playing an inferior football team and you can't beat them. He sits there and he's being serious, but it comes off as a witty joke about his expertise in fighting against the darkness. And fighting about that time that he put himself in a cave and he had that darkness retreat. That's loser. And I mean loser behavior and a loser mentality by Aaron Rodgers. And it shows you why this dude, with how early he won a Super Bowl, with all of his talent in this league that he has, and his all-time great career, why he never won a second Super Bowl, or he never even got to a second big game. The Aaron Rodgers era in New York is over. It's done. But now you have to seriously think, this idiot, and I mean idiot owner, excuse me, ambassador, if he'll actually give it another season. Because that's on the table. We know the experiment is donezo. But will the Jets continue to feed into the pain of this disastrous season and say, you know what? They won 3 out of their last 4 games. Maybe there could be a little bit of an uptick and they bring this dude back. And if they do, you know what? That's why each and every year the Jet fan says, just end the season. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. I'll give you 3 college football takes next. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227 on social media, at Zach Gelb, Twitter, and Instagram. And you know what? Maybe we should turn the lights off in the studio. Maybe. Maybe we just see what it's like and what it's like to be in the dark just to see how we can fight it. And maybe I'll have better ideas how to save this sinking ship. This sinking ship in New York. Seriously. The Jets make the Titanic look good, if we're being serious with you. Jeez Louise. Alrighty, coming on back. Alrighty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's get to 3 college football takeaways off what was, I wouldn't say a very busy weekend of college football. Like, up until that LSU-A&M game, I actually thought one of the more entertaining games of the weekend was actually a game that occurred late Friday night when Boise State was able to defeat UNLV, and Ashton Gentry only had like 130 yards rushing in the game, which is now like a bad game for Ashton Gentry. But, you know, Boise State remains undefeated, and even after the slow start, they got the job done. There were a few other games that stood out to me along the way, like Texas and Vanderbilt was a better game than I thought it was going to be. And Vanderbilt has just had some real gritty performances the other day. Texas was never in jeopardy of losing that game, but the game was closer than what I thought it would be, especially after Texas lost to Georgia. You thought Texas would come out and swing a little bit harder. And then also, I got to give credit to Nebraska. Oh, boy. I thought Nebraska, with Go Big Red and the Cornhuskers, had crying day. And the Ohio State Buckeyes. I thought they had them. And it just shows you that Nebraska is still probably a year away. You know, Raiola has had some good moments. Then he's had some freshman moments. Not the freshman moments that are a positive thing. You know how that is term is used to be meant. And there's been some moments like that for Nebraska. But to see how they just got dismantled, and I mean dismantled, by Indiana and Cignetti, to then go to Columbus and have Ohio State on the ropes, whew, that was an impressive response by the Nebraska Cornhuskers, even though it did not lead to a victory. And I'm actually, I don't want to say I'm happy that Ohio State won, because I'll be the first one to admit it. If you guys know me, I was rooting for Nebraska. And then I saw Penn State got off to a little bit of a sloppy start against Wisconsin, and then Aller gets banged up, and he didn't play in the second half. But you knew that Penn State was going to find a way to win the game. But with that game being Saturday, this upcoming Saturday at noon Eastern, it would have taken away from that game if we saw either Ohio State or Penn State go down. But to the 3 college football takeaways, and by the way, here's the biggest update of them all. Because I told you on Saturday, I had that issue with the mattress company as I ordered a new mattress and a new bed frame. And I told you earlier in the week, I gave them enough notice. I got the insurance with my building taken care of and that certificate. And they were like, oh, well, we don't know if we could get it to you on Saturday. Well, you guaranteed me it was going to be Saturday delivery. And I did everything I can. So you got to get it there by Saturday. And I said, you got to get it on Saturday to my apartment after 9:45 a.m. Eastern time. Because of the fact that I do my quick 30-minute show on WFAN in New York on Saturday mornings from 9 to 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. So they said, well, make a note, but we could have no guarantees. And then, of course, I get the notice on Friday right before we get on the air, or shortly before we got on the air, that the delivery time is expected to be anywhere between 8 to 10 a.m. and the estimated delivery time, the exact estimation is 8:15. So I'm like, ugh, this is going to be a disaster. Stu, I'll tell you, I told you I've been a good person these days. I got a call at 7 in the morning. Hey, we got on the road a little bit earlier than expected. We should be at your apartment by no later than 7:45. So at least it was okay. I could get you entry. If it takes a while to set up, I could then let my doorman escort you out of the building, make sure that, you know, my place doesn't get robbed or anything like that. Not that I have that many valuables. I got two TVs on the wall. I got two watches that I like. And then if you want to steal anything else out of my apartment, like, quite frankly, I don't really care. But they got there at 7:45. They set up that bed frame and moved the mattress over within 20 minutes. And it was a big bed frame. So I applaud, as much as people like to bitch about customer service, I applaud the fine folks that were associated with this company. And they did a good job, gave them a tip, even though I didn't have to tip, but I thought it was the right thing because they took care of business. And then away they went with their other 10 deliveries on the day. So the mattress is secured. The mattress works well. The bed frame works well. And I've had a very peaceful, it was Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. Oh, no, sorry, Saturday and Sunday night of sleeps. And I feel all refreshed. I feel like I'm good to go, ready to rock and roll on a Monday. All righty, let's get to the three college football takeaways. Takeaway number one, there's been a lot of discourse about Coach Prime. And going into last year, I said a successful season for Coach Prime would maybe be at best like 4 wins is what I could see. And last year, Colorado started off the year 3-0, and then it was like, hey, you got to get to bowl eligibility, and they only won one game down the stretch. But Coach Prime was taking over a program in peril, and he had Shedeur Sanders, he had Travis Hunter, you had individual stars, but you knew that the roster had to be totally revamped in the offseason to get the rest of the guys to not even be on the same level as Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, because he can't be. I think Shedeur Sanders, you know, he's a top three quarterback in the country. I think there's a legitimate chance he's the number one overall pick in the draft if a team needs a quarterback right now. I think the two best quarterbacks in terms of draft prospects in the country are Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, who are draft eligible, right? So you knew how great Shedeur was, and Travis Hunter is a freak of nature. He plays both ways. He is elite. He is so outstanding when it comes to the ability of Travis Hunter. The question just is, can he stay healthy? So last year, they had a good start and a miserable finish where they only won one game down the stretch after starting the year off 3-0. Expectations change. So before the year, if you told me, hey, they would have won 4 games, I would have said, hey, it's a success. But when you start the year off 3-0, you needed to get the bowl eligibility. Then heading into this year, especially with that sloppy game in the first week of the season up against North Dakota State. And I was someone that said, I think Colorado could get the 6 wins, but if you put a gun to my head, I would say 5 wins and they just miss out on bowl eligibility. It's not that I didn't believe in Coach Prime. It's not that I didn't believe in Shedeur Sanders or Travis Hunter. I just had concerns about the rest of the team, you know, outside of a few other players. But with how they looked up against North Dakota State, which they were lucky to win that game, and then they get smacked in week two by Nebraska, I thought that take was going to age well. But really, this team showed me what they could be up against UCF when they were a double-digit dog on the road and they won the game going away. So Coach Prime, over the weekend, got to bowl eligibility, got 6 wins, and it's one of the great turnarounds that we've seen in college football in a 2-year stretch. It's magnificent. He's winning games. You know, I don't know if they're going to go win the Big 12, but it's possible right now. I'm not going to say they are. You have two guys that are Heisman Trophy candidates in Shador, and then obviously Travis Hunter. And I'll get to my Heisman rankings in just a bit. But the Coach Prime era, for what we want to say or what you want to say, it doesn't matter. It's a success so far. Bowl eligibility in year two, and you have two of the best players in the country and two players who are going to be top five, top 10 picks in the draft. So that's take number one. Take number two. I think a lot of people confuse my view of Texas A&M. Texas A&M, when they had an opportunity to hire Mark Stoops in the offseason, and they wanted to, it was vehemently opposed by their fan base in a laughable, embarrassing, and pathetic display by Aggies fans. Now, just because they opposed the Mark Stoops hire didn't mean that the hire of Mike Elko was a bad hire. I would venture to say that no one has talked about Mike Elko in a more positive way for a longer time in the national media than me. And if you want receipts, I got receipts. And you know when my receipts start? Dating back to 2018. 2018, when I was advocating for Mike Elko to be a head coach. 2018. The guy just got a head coaching job this past offseason. So I'm a fan of Mike Elko. I was just disgusted by the overreaction and gross overreaction by Aggies fans. With that being said, though, what Mike Elko is doing right now has Texas A&M in a prime playoff position. And even though I'm a big Elko fan, I would have never thought that was the case before the season started. I thought they were in the top 25 and the back end of the top 25 just in name recognition. And then after they played Notre Dame in week one, where Notre Dame walked into their house and I don't even think played an A game. They were not at their best, Notre Dame. And they beat A&M by 10 points, 23-13. If you would have told me that there would have been a part later in the season, even with the 12-team playoff, that we'd be talking about A&M as a playoff team, I would have requested a drug test to be sent to your home right away. But since then, they have won 7 games in a row. And hey, they smashed Missouri. They went into the swamp. They smashed Florida, starting Marcel Reed. And you've had the ups and downs at the quarterback position. At first it's Wegman, then it's Reed, then it's back to Wegman. But they're going up against LSU, which I vacillated all throughout the week on this game, and I didn't really have a great feel on this game. And I said, this game means so much to Brian Kelly. If you put a gun to my head, which this would now be 2 times in the segment, I'd be dead. I would guess lean begrudgingly LSU in this one, even though I don't trust Brian Kelly in a big spot. And it was 17-7. And you have people talking about Nussmeier at LSU as a first-round pick and maybe the first quarterback off the board in this draft. And at 17-7 in the second half, you had a Nussmeier interception to an A&M touchdown, a fumble by LSU, an A&M touchdown, and then another Nussmeier interception, and then another A&M touchdown, which made it a 28-17 game. And LSU then answers back, 28-23, and then boom, they put the game away with 8 minutes to go, and Le'Veon Moss had that 3-yard rushing touchdown. But the big difference in this one was Nussmeier made crucial mistakes. They benched Connor Wegman. Marcel Reed comes in, and he was awesome. He had 3 rushing touchdowns in the game, 62 yards rushing, and only had 2 passes, completed both of them for 70 yards. And he should be starting, obviously, for the rest of the year. But A&M is in a prime position to make the playoff. Because if you have 2 losses, you should be in. Now, if they get 2 losses, I'll be curious to see if they get in. But they should beat South Carolina. And that game could concern me a little bit because I saw the spread today. They're out South Carolina. South Carolina is only a 3.5-point favorite. So I think that game could be a little bit trickier, especially after the emotional highs of taking care of LSU. But then you play New Mexico State, a bad Auburn team, and Hugh Freeze, geez. You know, for people that say, like, I'm a Coach Prime hater, which I don't get, I was saying that Auburn should have hired Coach Prime. That's what I said when he was at Jackson State. But then the final game of the season is Texas. And you could lose that game and still get into the college football playoff. but you got to lose it close. But they only have one loss right now, and it's to Notre Dame. And if you look at all the teams in the great SEC and just their conference records, not total records, conference records, A&M doesn't have a loss, and the only team not to have a loss in conference play in the SEC this year. So a heck of a job by Mike Elko. And then finally, Oregon and Georgia, with what I've seen this year, are the two best teams in college football. I know Georgia lost to Alabama. They responded strong in the second half. Then shortly after that, they made a big statement up against Texas. They had that scare up against Kentucky, too. I get it, but they still won. And Oregon started off the year winning, and they haven't lost a game yet. But Oregon, their first two games against Idaho and Boise State were underwhelming. And since then, Dylan Gabriel's got comfortable in this offense. Tez Johnson's a remarkable wide receiver. And that Oregon defense is starting to look the way that that Oregon defense should look under Dan Lanning. Georgia and Oregon, to me, through eight games, pretty much the college football schedule, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, they look like the two best teams in the nation. Now, real quickly, my Heisman rankings. I think 1 and 2 right now is a debate between Ashton Jeanty and Travis Hunter. After what Hunter did the other day, if you want to put him 1, I'm good with it. If you want to put Jeanty 1, you know I'm more than good with it. Personally, I would give the slight edge to Jeanty. He's never really had a down moment this year. You know, Travis Hunter the last 2 weeks up until, you know, the 2 weeks before this weekend has had to miss some time with some injuries. So I'd put Jeanty 1, Hunter 2, and then the quarterbacks are between Gabriel, Ward, and Shedeur Sanders. And right now I would give the slight edge to Cam Ward. So I was voting today, Jeanty slightly at 1, Travis Hunter 2, and then Cam Ward in at number 3. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. We'll update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We will get to a news brief next. Update time first, though. Here is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Yo, yo, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. If you're a fan of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, well, Jeremiah Love, their running back who had 2 touchdowns on Saturday up against Navy, is going to stop by 15 minutes from now at the top of the hour at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. It's brought to you by Riley Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sports Letter at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the program and we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We played it for you about 45 minutes ago, but if you need a good laugh. So Jeff Olbrich said that the Jets are basically in the darkness right now. This is a dark moment. And then it was asked to Aaron Rodgers about that quote from Jeff Olbrich. And here is the quarterback of the 2-6 Jets. And how he elected the 2-6 Jets, and how he elected to answer that question.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness. You got to go in there, make peace with it. Offensively, our goal has just got to be score 30. Doesn't matter what the other two sides are doing. You know, we have trust in our defense and teams, but if we're not scoring 30, we're underachieving. This offense can do that every single week.
Yeah, no one wants to hear about your darkness retreat and how you're an expert in fighting against the darkness. I'm just sorry. And he said they want to score 30, Stu. Did I hear that correct? He wants to score 30 on offense. Well, let me just entertain you here. This is the Jets this year. 19 points against San Francisco. 24 against Tennessee. 24 against New England. 9 against Denver. 17 against Minnesota. Buffalo, 20. Pittsburgh, 15. New England, 22. Haven't scored 30 this year. That's not a realistic goal. That's like me saying, hey, you know, I want to go out with Beyonce, right? That's not realistic. The Jets scoring 30, not realistic. Here is Devon Gotchow of the Patriots making it clear how he views Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think he's struggling right now. You know, just a Hall of Fame quarterback like that, just you know, hate to see him go out that way. But, you know, always going to take a win against him, you know, build your on your resume. But, yeah, he definitely don't look the same. You just don't look like he could move back there. Shit, I could run him down and catch him. He don't look mobile at all, you know, so. It was good for us, you know. We know we can get after him and attack him in the passing game, too.
There you go. Tells you everything about how the league right now views the great Aaron Rodgers. So, I felt good for Cleveland Browns fans yesterday. And unfortunately, we found out, you know, Jim Donovan, their longtime broadcaster, passed away, you know, after a long fight with cancer And, you know, it was a very emotional moment in that Browns broadcast booth. But that's a Browns team that not only did they win one, you know, for the life and the remembrance of Jim, but that's a team that you saw just how much better they are when Deshaun Watson is an under center. And I thought what Myles Garrett and Jameis Winston said after the game last week was disgraceful. You know, I know that they were coming from a good place, but when you're starting to make it out that Deshaun Watson is a model citizen, please save it for somebody else because I don't want to hear it. But you saw up against a very good team in the Baltimore Ravens, one of the better teams in the league, the Browns look pretty damn good. And Jameis Winston was 27 of 41 for 334 yards and 3 touchdowns. So I'll just say this to Deshaun Watson's camp, because the Deshaun Watson camp goes out of their way to blame everybody else and try to make it be that Deshaun Watson's still a great quarterback and that injuries just derailed his time in Cleveland. Well, why is it when they put anybody else under center, they look a lot better than Deshaun Watson? It's because your dude is just not that good anymore. He's not that guy anymore, all right? And I was, you know, someone that was extremely positive about Deshaun Watson going back to 2019, 2020, and the elite seasons or the great seasons that he did have. But that quarterback is long, long, long gone. Here is Jameis Winston on the great pregame speech that he gave before the game.
I believe.
Me too.
I believe.
Me too.
I believe.
Come on.
Listen, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what the Lord got for the Cleveland Browns.
Come on.
Okay? We don't have to see instant gratification. We don't have to see something good happen for us. We got to believe.
Yes, sir.
We got to have that unwavering faith.
Come on.
I got that.
Come on.
All right? You got one opportunity. You got one opportunity.
Yeah. Most of it, man. And I believe in my crew. Who with me?
I'm with you. Found down three.
Believe.
The only other thing that would make that better is if he just said, I'm the captain now. Forget about that quarterback, Deshaun Watson. He sucks. I'll be average and it'll still be better than Deshaun Watson. Here is Jameis Winston after the game. He quotes Eminem following the Browns' big victory over the Ravens.
There's a white boy from Detroit that I really admire named Eminem. He said, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity lasts once in a lifetime. And I know I got a quote. You know, Eminem, he from Detroit, he right up the road, but, man, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that the Lord provided me with this opportunity. I'm grateful for my teammates, my coaches, and these amazing fans.
See, now, usually the players will quote the Lord first or thank the Lord first and then get into the juicy quote. I've never heard a player quote Eminem and then go into thanking the Lord. It's usually in the reverse order. That's awesome. Here is Joe Burrow. The Bengals, they're 3-5. They got embarrassed in that second half up against the Philadelphia Eagles. People keep on telling me how great the Bengals are. They're paper tigers. That's what they are right now. Because when it's time to prove it on the field, they don't show what people think they could be when we talk about them off the field. So there's nothing tangible for the year of 2024 that you could point to and grab onto and say, okay, this is why I believe in the Cincinnati Bengals. And their biggest highlight of the season was a loss to the Chiefs. So stop with the nonsense about the Bengals. Here's their quarterback, though, Joe Burrow, on if Cincinnati could still make the playoffs.
I think 10 wins usually gets you in. So we got to win 7 out of 9. That's doable. It's doable. So we'll go from there.
So 10 gets you in. And right now they are 3-5. So the 3 wins, by the way. Panthers, Giants, Browns. Stink, stink, stink. Stu, can we find 7 wins for the Bengals? I'll give you the schedule.
Okay.
And this is not me poking at Stu and having fun at Stu. This is just the way the schedule lies.
Yep.
They play the Raiders.
That'll be a win.
Okay, so there's one. Then they're at the Ravens.
That'll be a loss.
Then they're at the Chargers.
I think they could win that game.
Okay, I would disagree, but fine. It's like possible, but
yeah.
I just think the Chargers are going to ground and pound them. Steelers.
Loss.
At the Cowboys.
I'll say win.
At Tennessee.
Win. Definitely win.
Cleveland.
Win.
Broncos.
That's tougher than I thought it'd be. I'll say win.
And then at the Steelers.
Win.
Okay. So that's 7. You get the 7.
But again, that's best case scenario. There's some tough wins. There's some toss-ups in there where...
You were being the most optimistic possible.
Yes.
And you got to the number of 7. And usually, if you're the most optimistic possible, there's usually at least one or two that you don't see coming. Okay, finally, let's get to Trayvon Diggs. He goes off on a reporter for a social media post that happened, by the way, during the game. Go ahead.
Now that whole play that you took from that, you don't know football. You can't do nothing that I do. You can't go out there and do nothing. Stay in your lane, buddy. Stop playing me, bro.
Just asking a question, Trayvon. I mean, I'm happy to have you answer the question.
Now that whole play, that's what you took from that? That's what you got from that? That whole play, that's what you got from that?
I'm asking.
We can talk about it more. What were you doing then?
Just a low class from Trayvon Diggs. Not surprising, but low class. I'm sorry. And this is the Cowboy machine where they care more about off the field and the headlines they could create than on the field. But that's the culture that Jerry Jones has created and Jerry Jones has really enabled with the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. And they got off to a decent start. Then they allowed 24 unanswered points. They kind of made it a game at the end. But then when push comes to shove, Dak couldn't get the job done with the game on the line. But for Trayvon Diggs to see a post from Mike Leslie, who I think the reporter was, during the game that questioned his effort, just said, hey, what was Trayvon Diggs doing on this play? And Trayvon Diggs didn't even have his pads off. His pads weren't even off. He still had his shoulder pads on. And he's already able to see that tweet, not even get undressed, and then go outside and try to undress a reporter. And then when the reporter's like, hey, let's talk about it. You want to talk about it? Let's talk about it. He goes, yeah, let's talk about these nuts. Jeez. Cowboys. Disaster. You know, the Jets, the Cowboys, maybe Cincinnati. Like, Cincinnati's just bad right now. They're not a circus. But the Jets and the Cowboys should go on vacation with one another for the rest of the football season because they deserve one another. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network, Notre Dame running back Jeremiah Love joins us next.